Hi everyone, welcome to the TinyResearch.com Pro Forecast News, episode number 231 for July 22nd, 2019. My name is David Kosper, and I'm broadcasting today from the Chicago Traders Expo, and I'm standing at Anka Metcalf's Trade Out Loud booth, so she's here. And, she wants to wave hi.
Hey guys, just want to say hi and good luck to today's show. We're right around here, so you're going to get a lot of great information from all your guests. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Anka.
So, I don't know if you could hear, my microphone probably wasn't picking that up, but anyway, today we will be discussing the 304th weekly report. I'll have that up on your screen in a few minutes there, but you can also go to timingresearch.com/reports. So you can, if you want to get access to the web or PDF version of the report there. And we are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes. You just listen, search for Timing Research on your favorite podcast platform. So today I have arranged for Maria Viatoro, Bennett McDowell, and Simon Klein to join us. And Simon will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thanks, David. It's great to be back here again, moderating the Timing Research Show. Great show. And it's great to have Marina here. And Bennett. So what we're going to do, first question, everyone's going to go, we're going to go around and we're going to introduce ourselves and talk a little bit about our website, a bit about how you came to trading maybe, and what you trade. And let's start with you, Marina.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I am Marina, the Trader Chick. This is my website here. And I mainly work with futures. That is kind of my fun thing that I like to do, ES minis. And I work with the NinjaTrader is my main thing. So I follow, obviously, the S&P Mini, which is the SPY or the S&P indexes, more or less. And just a quick fun fact, David, sorry, my computer just went nuts. I am actually going to be at the Money Show or the Traders Expo, also presenting October 13th and 14th. So hopefully I will meet you there. That'll be really cool in Dallas or whoever else will be coming. Thanks.
Oh, Dallas. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Marina. And
I'm going to stop sharing. There we go.
No problem. Let's go over to you, Bennett, of TradersCoach.com.
Hi, Simon. Marina, nice to meet you as well. Great to be here, everybody. Well, my journey started back in the 1980s. I actually was in real estate early on in the early 80s and found out very early on that the real estate business is a little tough during a recession. So at that particular time, I was also interested in the markets and the stock market and so forth. There wasn't a lot of internet back then, of course. So it was a little different than it is today. But I basically went into investing and trading in the markets and have been doing it ever since. And it is a tremendous vehicle because no matter what the economy is doing, you can make money. If it's going down, you can short the market, obviously. And if it's going up, you can participate in that. So it was really a answer to some of the things you can do out there in the entrepreneurial field. You know, you can own a business, but again, you know, it's tough during recessionary times. So we started TradersCoach.com in the 1990s. We've been doing this for now over 25 years and had a blast doing it. It started out pretty much as I was managing money for people. And then we eventually went on to providing some of the software tools that we actually did that with. So we're big on risk control. That's our number one focus. We trade futures, stocks. We do not trade Forex, though I have a lot of clients that do. But we pretty much focus on that. And options, of course, is another vehicle that we use to participate as well. So it's great to be here. And I look forward to participating today.
Hey, it's great to have you, Bennett.
Thanks.
So a little bit about me. You can see the screen, and maybe I'll switch my webcam on as well, so you can see the real me. Okay, let's just do that. Don't know where it's going to go. You see me? It's coming up.
You're sharing your screen.
You can see the screen as well. You can't see both at the same time.
Right. I don't see you, but I do see the screen.
Oh, okay. So let me turn it off then. Okay. So I've been trading for close to 15 years now. I started my professional life straight out of university. I graduated with a computer science degree, and I started at Credit Suisse in London and then New York. And then I moved to a number of prop firms and been trading ever since. And I started TradeSmart. The website's tradesmartforex.com. I think it was about 5 years ago now. And beforehand, I was training people, training traders, like literally all over the world, just by word of mouth. I didn't even have a website. And I've trained people institutionally on both institutional and retail, which is kind of interesting. So the idea of TradeSmart, what we do is we're a trading education business, and we focus primarily on teaching you how to read the market professionally. That's the first stage in learning how to trade, is understand what you're looking at on the charts. And that's not enough, because you need to understand how to run a successful trading business, the business side of trading. And that includes how to develop your own trading plan and how to develop your own strategies that fit your personality and lifestyle. That's a very, very important thing. You want to be able to trade strategies that fit you, that are tailor-made for you. If they're not, then it's going to be very difficult for you to pull it off in real time when there's real money on the line. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. You've got to find the size that fits you. So our approach is to teach you a framework in which you can read the market. And then within that framework, you can develop a strategy or a number of strategies that fit your personality and lifestyle. And we go through a whole process of actually proving that those strategies do have a positive expectancy. So when you actually trade them with real money, you will make money over time, obviously not on every trade. So that's primarily what we're focused on at TradeSmart, TradeSmartForex.com. We have a live trading room. We run every day, Sunday to Thursday. Sunday, we have a weekly preparation session where we prepare for the upcoming week. And during the week, we trade live, usually the US market open, primarily the Forex market. And that's primarily the markets that we trade, even though we do look at futures and we look at the stock market sometimes through the E-minis and some of the micro contracts as well, the new micro contracts. And we can look at literally anything. I started out as a stock trader, and then I moved over to primarily to foreign exchange, to Forex, because it just suits my lifestyle better and the times I can actually trade. Okay, so that's the first question. And what we're going to do now is a quick round of where on page one of the report, we have to look at which direction you think the S&P 500 index will move from this coming Monday's open until Friday's close, as in July the 22nd to the 26th. So just give the answer to the question and what percentage do you think you're right, like if it's going up, and how sure you are of that. So we'll start with Marina. Is everyone?
Hi. Okay, let me just screen share. Can you hear me? Hi, yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep, hello. You're good.
Okay, cool. Okay, so basically I'm looking right now. I use a tick chart, so it's a very detailed. I'm just going to go into a little bit here. What I'm seeing at the moment, it has been kind of going down, and then it has now been stuck more or less in this sideways market, more or less. And here is the other version of SPY for the year, right? I think at the point right now, it's kind of doing a little FOBO. I can't guarantee it 100%, obviously, meaning that we have this resistance area. This is over the long period, long term, that is popping up right now. I feel 75% that it will at least hit back to this resistance area. And it will kind of be around here, at least for the next week, as it heads down. So if anything, I believe it's going to head down at least to about 290 on the SPY. And yeah, so around 75%, it's going to hit back to this resistance area until it decides if it wants to bounce back up or if it's going to start to head down between this channel that it's been also warming. This is another perfect example of a FOBO, which means
we lost your sound. Oops.
Yeah, I lost her too.
I thought it was my headphones for a second.
No, I lost her too.
Maybe she's having some kind of technical difficulties. If you want to, Ben, if you want to go ahead.
You want me to go? Okay. All right. This is where we all put our brain surgery hats on here. This is sometimes a very tough question because there's so many things that can happen. And when we look at charts, you know, what time frame and so forth are we looking at to come up with this type of forecast? And we're really trying to guess the market direction in 5 days. So let me just show you a little bit. Let me show you my charts and share a screen here and move that off to the side. slide. You should see my screen, hopefully, if everything's working okay. I have the S&P on the left side. This is a 30-minute. I happen to have the E-mini contract. And then I have a 60-minute chart on the right-hand side. Now, all the software tools you see me using here are ones that I created. And this one here is one that I use a lot when it comes to forecasting. And this is called the PTF indicator, and it has about a 75% accuracy rate. And so what we try to do with this is kind of take a look at different time frames to see what this is telling us. And this is a 30-minute time frame on the S&P, and it's red. So there is a 75% probability that it's going to go lower than the lowest low in that red area. And that's I've underlined that here. So that's about 2970. But it doesn't tell us if it's going to happen by Friday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. That's the tough part. So 30-minute time frame, I would say probably by midweek will be lower. All right. And if I look at the 60-minute time frame on the right-hand side, notice that it has a yellow PTF. So that's neutral. We have a little bearish momentum here. So overall, the market is bearish right now, but it doesn't mean it can't by Wednesday bottom and rebound. And that is the difficult part of this question. So I would say probably I'm going to go with it's going to end lower just simply because everything is bearish and I have to deal with the reality of the market. But I do also realize that it may bounce back to the upside by Friday. So I'm going to put this at about, 60% reliability, Simon, that we're going to be lower by the end of the week.
Okay. Thank you, Bennett. Let's go back to Marina. She's now back in. And again, which direction by the end of the week and what percentage probability, what likelihood do you think?
Hi, sorry about that. Funny, I'm in Manhattan and my internet is going back. And just a quick thing, I actually live in Guatemala, never had these issues. So of course, you know, back to the first world. Okay, so back to what I was saying, I guess none of it was heard. So I use the 610 chick tick chart, which is very micro. And just from here, you can see that there is a very strong resistance area forming here. This is what I'm seeing. And this is the SPY, which is the ETF index for the S&P, which I follow as well for the overall. This is the yearly chart that I'm looking at. And if you can see, there's a really strong resistance area right here. And this pop up right here, I'm looking at, I call these FOBOs. Again, this is my take on this. I think that 75% chance the market is going to hit back to around 290, 292 on the SPY, back to this resistance area. FOBO is going to do a little fake out breakout, kind of what happened here. And this is where it's going to be hanging out for a little bit, either to bounce up and continue up, or it's going to head back down to around the support area. But as far as the most closest movement, I am banking on it going down to about here to this resistance area before there's a big time decision of what it's about to. So about 75%, I am sure that it's going to head down to this particular area.
You mean the support area?
No, to the resistance area. Well, it's going to become a support area because it's going to either bounce off or break through. So this is the resistance area that I'm looking at, that it's definitely going to hit back. And then I feel it's going to hang out around here for a while, because as indecision, usually an area like a resistance area or support area, it's usually respected. So something is going to be happening here until the overall market decides if it's going to head back down and at least head back down to the support area. However, I don't want to go that far until I see what it's going to do at this resistance area, which in this case, it will become a support area, obviously, because it's going to be bouncing off of it, but it's going to head down to this resistance area. And that I'm pretty sure is going to happen. It's just, it's already headed down. It's been stuck in this resistance area for quite some time. I'm curious to see what it's going to be doing today. But this is what I feel it's going to end up doing. This is a very short term, obviously, but it's going to be playing between these two areas until it decides if it's going to head down more or bounce up and head up.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marina. So everyone can see my charts, and those of you who have been on the show before, you know that I'm purely a technical trader, and I primarily use supply and demand, which is different to support and resistance. It's not an indicator. It's something, these are the zones that I put on myself, and I'm looking at three things. I'm looking at price direction, I'm looking at trend using pivot analysis. That's not trader pivots. That's actually the candlesticks. And I'm looking at supply and demand on multiple time frames. I make every single trading decision based on those things primarily. Yeah. So if we look at the monthly chart, and again, we go down, you can see that we're kind of just coming off the highs here. Look at the weekly chart. We've got direction down here. So this means that we're likely to get a pullback, but to where? So we have a kind of supply potentially become demand area sitting down here. Yeah. And if we go down to the daily chart, which is very interesting, and this is where we're going to make our decision from, we can see we have direction down into demand. Yeah. Now, what's probably likely going to happen at the end of the day, we're going to have an inside day today. We're still in an uptrend on the daily chart, okay? And we're still in uptrends on the weekly and on the monthly chart. So the trend is your friend until the bend in the end, but the bend in the end may come today, because what's going to happen is we're going to fail to make a new high. We're going to put in a lower high, but also a higher low at the same time, which usually sets up for sideways action until we go above and close above the high of this candlestick or the low of this. And at the moment, you can see that's probably what's happening. We're kind of ranging, we're kind of in this range. We did set off on Friday, but we stopped because there's demand here, and now we're kind of chopping around sideways. So based on the weekly chart, I would say if we go below here, we're likely to go down to this level. And if that happens, we could end up going all the way back down to this 2,800 area. And that's been a kind of an important area on either side of it. On the downside, you can see here. And on we didn't hold it here. We came all the way down. And on pushing us to the upside here, which was from this area, you can see it's around this 2,800 area. I'm looking at the E-minis. So I would say it's 50-50 at the moment. Sideways choppy market until we are going to change the trend on the daily chart probably today. It's going to be an inside range. So it's again, we haven't traded outside of Friday's range yet, still within that. So nothing new here today in the trading range. We need to go above or below to really get something new, but it's looking like we may get a pullback. And again, I'll know that if we go below this area. So I'm going to say, you know, I'm 50-50 sideways, if you could say sideways. I think sideways until we go above or below. And that's basically what I'm going to say. Okay, so let's move on to our next question. And if anyone would like to share any particular reason, we've gone through our reasons, but if anyone wants to add anything more to what they've just said on the direction, then we can do that now. And I'll start with you, Marina. If you want to add anything extra to the specific reason why you think the S&P 500 will be heading lower. I know he looks at the charts, but anything else that you want to add?
Hi, yes, hang on a second. Let me just add my, there we go. Okay, so what I do is I'm also 100% technical, but it has been stuck in this area quite a lot. It's really indecisive. It's also quite slow. It is July, the middle of the summer. So the volatility overall is a lot less than normal as far as volume, because a lot of people like to go off, you know, it's summertime, kid time. So I'm also looking at the MACDs. They have been stuck kind of around here with quite a lot of divergence around here. And now it's really slow moving. So again, I am very micro. I look at like the next trends coming up, like the next movements more or less. And since it's been kind of stuck here this whole time, I'm definitely seeing it either have a serious pop, which it doesn't look like it's going to do that much from the MACDs, and probably take a little breather and head down until it gives us some more of an answer, I guess. I think the market is also in decision time. We are just coming out from lunch, so that also really affects things. As far as for the year, just hang on. I don't know what I just did, and I can't fix it. So Thinkorswim is not my platform. This is my baby right here. So for me, it's just too much indecision. It's not the highest volume. When there's not that much volume, when people are kind of, you know, off enjoying the summer, especially getting out of the heat. I'm in like a massive heat wave here in New York. It slows things down. And that also, I find that it puts that strain on the market to just be in a little bit more indecisiveness. And that's my view on it. I like to just focus on what is about to happen in the next minute. And it's definitely showing me it's headed back down in the next minute. For the week, I think it's going to go back and forth for a while on a larger scale through this channel.
Okay, thank you, Marina. Bennett, is there anything else you'd like to add to your answer? Anything you'd like to show on your charts, maybe? We can't hear you. Bennett, I think you're muted.
Can you hear me?
Yep, now we can.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, I think between the three of us, we got it pretty well covered. It looks to me like, we probably are going to head a little bit down, but I also think a longer-term perspective is a little bit more channeled by the end of the week. So, you know, I think it's pretty much everybody covered it.
Okay, thank you very much, Bennett. And I guess I gave my explanation, and I'm waiting. The way I trade is I wait for something to happen that I recognize.
That's what I do too.
I know what the probabilities are. I don't trade if I don't recognize it. I generally split the market up into two different modes. And I think Marina just touched on that slightly as well. Decision-making and opportunity. So when the market's in decision-making, then you, if you're trading and day trading, then you're probably scalping, going for those small moves on the lower time frames between areas of supply and demand, maybe. And if you're waiting for opportunity, then you're going for, it's easier to see which way the market's going and you can go with it and maybe for a bigger move on the bigger time frames. So again, I think the market's in a decision-making. It's still bullish on the monthly chart and the weekly chart and the daily chart until today ends, and it's still not ended yet. So anything can happen. And that's one of the things that you have to know as a trader, that the market can do anything at any time. Just because the probabilities are, say, 90%, it doesn't mean that this time it's going to play out that way. This could be the 10% that it doesn't play out the way that you expect. So you have to be very nimble and be able to read what's happening as it's happening in the market and trade what you see happening, which is very important. So let's move on to the next question. And the next question is very interesting, actually. And what are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop? And Bennett, you're on, so let's start with you this time.
Yeah, sure. I think when you're just starting out in trading, I think it's really important to focus on risk control and also kind of not jumping into the markets too aggressively at first. Learn it a little bit. I think people tend to get overexcited and almost treat the markets, of course, like a casino, which is a recipe for disaster. So I think they need to really learn different parts of the trading pie. You know, you have entries and exits. You have scanning the market for opportunities. You have money management, risk control, and then psychology. I mean, psychology is something that really takes a little time to develop because you want to have a lot of balance in your trading. And I think in the beginning, you're kind of can be all over the place emotionally. And so this is where structure, trading rules will come into play to kind of balance you out. And I think, you know, there's a term out there, you know, when you finally arrived as a trader, it's actually sometimes kind of boring because it's business as usual. I mean, you have a very set approach. It's fun and exciting, but it's also very structured. And that is, to some people, kind of boring. So I think you really need, my real suggestion to people is focus on the different pieces of the trading pie. And don't forget risk control, because risk control really is the door that separates the novice traders from the professional traders. You know, like you said, Simon, you know, you can have a 90% probability something could work out, but there's also that 10% it might not. So if that's going to be a time you failed to use risk control and the trade fails, well, it could wipe out your account. So you need to use risk control on every trade and really make it just as important as entries and exits. So that would be my advice for people just starting out.
So let's just take that through to the mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop. That's risk management, but let's take it into that direction a little bit more.
Sure. Well, I think you have to develop the trader's mindset. I think what happens is when traders first start out, they may not be as structured as they should be, and therefore they open themselves up to being seduced by the market. And that seduction creates basically the emotions instead of a trading approach that they're going to use to trade the markets. It's kind of, and also too, what people tend to do is they always tend to trade their last trade. So for example, if you had a situation where you were long and then you got stopped out and then the market took off again, well, the next time that stop gets hit, you may not take it because you remembered that it got you out of the market too soon. So you don't want to have that mindset where you're trading your last trade. You always want to have the structure based on probabilities and also based on your previous performance probability. So you always want to trade with that edge. And sometimes we get out of trades and they do go on, but that's okay because you know over time that that's the right approach. So I think from the mindset part, you have to accept that there's going to be losing trades in trading, and the structure that you can implement will kind of calm the beast of emotions. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree with that, Bennett. Let's move over to you, Marina. Again, what are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop?
Oh my God, what a great, great question. I think this is the first time we talk about something like that on this show or any shows. Because you know what? I always say anybody can learn how to trade, but it's your mind that is going to do it all for you, basically. You know, oh my God, it's just such a mental game. So before you start doing anything, it doesn't even have to be with trading. Just think of any part of your life or anything you want to start, right? I like to use who's playing the piano or even learning how to fly a plane. No matter what you do, you have to learn what you are going to be working with. So let's go back to the piano example. I find so many quote unquote day traders, they go out and start playing music in live jazz clubs without even learning the notes. Basically, they are in the live market, donating money to the market without even understanding the notes, the basics. They don't even realize that there are three trends, right? Like, just super basic. And I know this isn't really emotional yet, but just the fact that they realize, oh, there's an uptrend. Oh, they realize there's a downtrend, but they don't realize the absolute importance of even a sideways trend. And I'm not even talking about, you know, learning what divergences are, reversal errors, basics, right? They're putting in the window before they have the wall. So why is that important? Because think of yourself, if you want to take an exam and you haven't studied for that exam whatsoever and you show up, what are you going to do? You are going to be stressed. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be really miserable and no confidence whatsoever. So what does that do to your emotional mind frame? You're going to lose because you don't know what you're doing. And I know that this sounds really evident, but the amount of people that don't want to put in the time to actually just learn what the market is telling them or learn about the market, period, is incredible. And then they say, oh, day trading is so risky, it's gambling, but it's not. You really just need to learn the basics. Just start with the absolute basics, right? And then obviously, once you learn the basics, which the mental, emotional roller coaster really hits hard when you go live, right? From sim mode to going live. However, if you're practicing in sim mode and you have if you understand what the market is telling you, if you have your good habits in place, which is so important. Any successful person in any field of anything will tell you it's all about the habit and the rituals and the routines, right? So if you don't have those completely in place, again, you're going to be really stressed out when you're in the live market, when your money is on the line. So having these pillars, these bricks, I call them, in place will help you become much more confident and much more mentally stronger so that you can start building up your emotional capital. And I talk a lot about emotional capital because people don't realize the importance of it. When you are trading, money is a great thing, but let me tell you, your emotional capital, if you are constantly going for the huge targets but getting retraced and getting stopped out or don't even have a stop in place, which by the way, a lot of people don't, you start to lose money. So what happens? You start to beat yourself up. You start to really call yourself bad names. You start to really drain your emotional capital. You know, the emotional capital is your confidence, your trust in yourself, your belief in what you are doing. And then, you know, it's not only for the trading. So you get out from your desk of staring at the charts all day, totally draining your account and your emotional capital. And what happens? You go out into the rest of your life and you're mean to your spouses, your kids, your dogs, yourself, your friends. So it really affects you on every single level. And it doesn't have to. I truly believe having a really strong strategy in place that you really trust. And even when you take those losing trades, and you will take a losing trade, it's just part of the game, but it will be 10% rather than the 50% or 80% that you're taking. And knowing that, wait, I made the right decision. That was a valid trade. That was part of my strategy. I stuck to what I have been learning, backtesting. Your emotional level is still strong. Your emotional capital is still high, right? So you're okay when you lose that trade. The emotional capital won't go as much down and drain you, and you start to be, you know, calling yourself, I'm an idiot, I'm stupid, I can't believe I did that, which we all go through. And it really needs to stop that internal negativity, right? And that happens from learning a strategy, truly trusting it, backtesting. Oh my God, the amount of people that backtest in the live market just amazes me. You know, a surgeon will not go in on a live patient and try out a new type of operation. It's just murder, you know? And people don't get it. I mean, it's obviously a little bit of a drastic example, but it's the truth, right? You wouldn't do that. Why are you doing that with your money that could feed your family? And just another little quick side note, don't use your child's food money and your rent money for trading, because that on itself puts so much pressure. Use only the money that you could play with. I know that it sounds weird how you could play with money, but it's less of an emotional investment in it, because if you lose that money, that your rent is going to be for, again, your emotional capital is in the negatives. And we don't want that, right? And you don't want that. So there's a lot of ways to kind of solidify a confidence level in you so that when you are out there on the, I call call it in the trenches, you're more prepared, right? So if you take a shot, it happens, right? It's not going to be as strong of a shot as if you get completely knocked down. So that's how I look at it. Building those strong pillars of strategy, foundation, rituals, and belief and trust. Trust is really important.
Yeah, excellent points, Marina. Excellent points. I agree with all of that. And I would say the first step in becoming a successful trader that everyone should do is learn. I know it sounds funny to say this, but I think this is the biggest problem, and you touched on it, is learning how to trade. Learn what you need to do to become a trader. It's not just placing trades. That's only part of it. It's the analysis. It's the going through your trades afterwards. And you have to have your own trading plan, which has at least one strategy in it. Again, strategy is not the whole plan. You need to have money management rules, how you manage the trade, how you manage yourself. How do you prepare to trade? I always tell my traders, you need two things ready before you trade. You need to be ready and the market needs to be ready. One of them isn't in place, do not trade. You need to, it's a performance activity, a peak performance activity. You need to make sure that you're in tip-top condition when you're trading to make sure you have a stand, you stand a chance of succeeding. Now, I'll just tell you about one of the traders that I'm training at the moment. If I told you his batting average, you'd probably be in shock. He gets 1 out of 4 trades right. He's wrong 3/4 of the time, but he's making a tremendous amount of money because when he's right, his average winner to loser is 6 times. Okay. So if you do the math, you can see that's a consistently profitable trader. A winning trade makes 6 times his losing trade, but he gets 3 losses and then 1 win. So he loses 3 and then makes 6. So if you look at expectancy, if you lose 3 trades, you're down 3R if you're risking 1R per trade, and then you make 1 successful trade where you're up 6 on average, yeah, then you've lost 3, made 6, so you've made 3 overall, yeah, made 6, lost 3, so you're up 3 over 4 trades, and so you have a positive expectancy. So the more trades you make, the more money you're going to make, even with the losing trades, because those losing trades are part of his winning system. He has to take 3 losses to get the 1 win, and once you understand that's part of trading, the ability to accept losses when you know that those losses are a part of a winning system, your whole psychology changes. You don't care about taking losing trades. And that's the very important word. We discussed it in a number of shows back, I remember with Jake Bernstein, that you almost have to get to the point where you don't care, because why should you care about one losing trade when it's meaningless when you're making money anyway, if you see what I mean? At the end of the month, you're making money. At the end of the week, you're making money. Who cares about some losing trades? It's the cost of doing business. And it depends on your strategy. Some people want to have a higher batting average, but they'll go for the average win to average loss is going to be less. They may go for more of a one-to-one with an 80% batting average. That's also a winning strategy, so to say, which will have a positive expectancy. If you're batting at 50%, for example, and your average win to average loss is it's 1-to-1, then you're going to be break-even trader. So again, it depends what you can do. It depends what fits you and how you see the market. But to realize that when you're starting out, you're probably not going to make money at the beginning. And we had this discussion a while back, maybe on a show the last time, that what's better? Is it better to start out trading as a beginning trader, losing money or making money? And when I worked on the trading floor, there were traders. I started out as a losing trader. Okay, I didn't make money at the beginning. I didn't get that beginner's luck. But there were a few people on the floor when I was trading on that did make a tremendous amount of money at the beginning. And to tell you that they're not traders anymore, okay? So they blew out from started out winning and then lost. I started the other way around. And the other traders that I know that are successful nowadays started down. You learn more from your losing trades than you do from your winning trades. And if you view your trades, remember, how do we view good trades and bad trades generally? And most people look, good trade means you made money. If you ask anyone, hey, how was your trade? Was it good or bad? And they'll say, well, I lost money. It was a bad trade, you know? Or I made money, it was a good trade. That's not the right way. If you reframe your trades as good trade means I followed my trading plan and bad trade means I didn't follow my trading plan and it doesn't matter what the outcome is, then again, you're not going to be so tense and in an emotional state because you're just following your plan. Your job as a trader when you're actually in the live market trading is to follow your trading plan. You've got your rules. You know exactly what you should be doing. Make sure you're in the zone because if you're in a state of fear, you cannot possibly take in the information that you need to take in, especially if if you're a discretionary trader. You've got to be able to take in the information, see the big picture, see the small picture, see the area, see the trend. There's a lot of information to take in before you make a decision. Reward to risk, position sizing, get in, managing the trade, let it go. If you start getting emotional, it's going to close your vision. You won't be able to see what you need to see, and you'll be in a state of fear and you'll do the wrong thing. You'll act emotionally in the market, which will most often than not be a flight and fright kind of flight and fright mode. You want to get yourself out of the danger. And as soon as you get out of that trade, usually at the point where it turns into a winning trade and you got out just at the low of the day before it hit your stop, and then it turns around and goes on to, you can now see it clearly because you're not in that state of fear. So the most important things you need to do to develop the mental and emotional characteristics that you need for trading, the trading mindset, is to learn how to trade. Make sure that when you start trading with real money, you've got a system that works for you that you've proven makes money over time in the real market. And what you need to do is start off trading real money, but small size. My traders will start off risking $10 per trade. Doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank or in your trading account. There's no point risking more until you've proven you can actually make money. You can have a winning system, but you've got to prove that you can trade that system. It's no good. It might be good for someone else can trade that system and make money, but can you do it? You know it's a winning system, but you need to put it into practice. So it's very important. And I believe a lot of what's causing the issue is and I've thought about it a lot over the years and from working with many traders over 10 years now. The ones that have the biggest issues don't believe in what they're doing. They don't have, if you believe in what you're doing, you believe in yourself to do it, and you know exactly what you need to do as a trader on a day-to-day basis and every moment that you're trading in the market, and you go through the analysis, you analyze your trades, and you see what worked and what didn't, and you're constantly improving, then you feel that you're moving. You're making this traction there. You're moving forward. You're going to be improving, and you need a framework in which you develop yourself consistently as a trader on a day-to-day trade by trade basis. Even if you're a successful trader, you need to keep tabs on yourself as a trader, and you need to keep tabs on the market as well. You need to keep your finger on the pulse of the market and on your own pulse to know that you're in sync. And that's what people mean when they say when you're in the zone. You feel like you're inside the market. You can feel what it's doing, and you're in that peak state of that peak performance state where you can actually make good trading decisions. And the important thing, if the trade doesn't work out in your favor, it doesn't bother you. You move on to the next trade. You don't carry emotional baggage from trade to trade. As you get more experienced, then the emotional side of it will become intuition, will become your trader's sixth sense or your trader's gut, and it will help you. And the way you can actually gauge that as a trader is by tracking your decisions and what's causing those decisions and what the outcome is. So you can track your trader gut, for example, by making decisions based on that and then seeing what the outcome is. What percentage of those decisions made on your trader gut actually worked out in your favor? If it's like 20%, then it's not quite there yet. So you can analyze the market, or you can just look at the market and have an instinct of what you think is going to happen. Write them both down. Go and see what happens, which one's right. And what would be the best thing is that if you analyze the market, your gut instinct says, hey, the market's going up, it's going to this level. You analyze the market, and that's what the analysis says, and the market does that, and you do that consistently, you're going to build confidence in your decision making, your market reading skills. And if you have confidence, there's no room for being, having emotional or mental issues, because you're confident in what you're doing. You need confidence when you trade. You need to have conviction. You need to know what you're doing. And that's exactly what Marina touched on. Without that, you shouldn't trade. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster ride for you. If I remember my first days of trading, I was very nervous when I first started trading, because guess what? I was new. I'd gone through training. I was trained on the trading floor by successful traders, but I still hadn't got that experience. So there's something that I wrote down, which I'll share with you, actually, part of it in my trading journal. And this is way back when, over 10 years ago. And I said, I've made a breakthrough in my development. You should all keep a trading journal. I made a breakthrough in my development as a trader. And listen to this carefully. Being told that the only way to succeed is to have a trading plan and the discipline to be able to follow it was not enough. I've had to experience the emotions of trading without following your trading plan and the lack of continued consistency. Now I must make the change, I will only take trades according to my trading plan. Something clicked in me, yeah? I will also manage trades according to my trading plan. When I do this, I'm completely relaxed and calm, and it is actually a pleasure to trade. Hear that? I just wait for the trade to set up correctly and take the trade as previously planned. I also manage the trade as previously planned. I suppose now that this was the journey necessary to really believe that you must have and follow your own trading plan. Okay? So this is what I wrote over 10 years ago. I just picked up one of my trading journals. I've got quite a lot of them, and I used to keep copious notes, and I still do now, of things that I notice, of things that I learn. And everyone should do that. You need to write your own book, your own journal, and keep track of everything that you do, because everyone's unique, but you need to have a structure in which you develop. And you have to understand that losses are part of becoming a successful trader. You need to learn from your losses and move forward. You need to learn, why did this trade not work? Some of the best understandings and gems that I've understood in the market have come from losing trades. I've understood things, you know, that happen in the market. So when they happen again, I know what's likely to happen next. And that's what we look for. We look for what's happening now. And if the market does this, this is more likely to happen than something else. And we trade that. Those are the probabilities. And if we have enough reward to risk and everything else, those are the trades that we take. So it's very important, again, to recap, to have your mental game in play. You have to understand and know what you need to do as a trader. What does a successful trader do? And I believe all successful traders do this. We prepare to trade before we trade. We get ourselves ready to trade, and then we trade only when there's something that shows up in our trading plan. Okay, so let's move on now to, going to ask everyone to share a trading idea with the audience. And let's start off with Marina.
Yes, hang on a second. Let me just get my screen share on. Okay, so basically, how do I look at the market? So here we have, this is a good example of a trade that I would be really, really interested in doing. I'm going to expand this just a little bit. So here we are in a channel. This has been in the morning, but like really early morning, in a free market, pretty much. And I have a pretty significant channel going on here. And I have a really strong resistance area and a really beautiful support area. And what I look for is, I call them breakout trades. Breakout trades for me have been probably the most highest probability trades overall. They are really strong trades. So as you can see, I have three lines here. I have three different EMA periods. The middle one is 52 weeks. And then the other two are, this is a shorter time frame and this is a longer time frame. I don't really look at these that much for the overall trade as much as I do for some more detailed types of trades, which I'm not going to go into. So here we have a support area. Now, once it breaks through, everything I do is pretty much from this red 52 period EMA line, which is, I like to think of it as, if you're an archer, if you're going to go do archery, you need to have a place where you stand and you need to have a bullseye, a target. If you don't have a place where you take your trades from, you're just shooting arrows from anywhere and letting them land anywhere. That is part of the trading strategy. You don't have to use mine. You don't have to use Simon's. You could use whatever it works for you. But personally, I believe truly you need to have a place where you take that trade from and you need to have a profit from. You could go for the bigger profits. At least for me, I'm a scalper. I like to focus on one point as my very first target. So here is this beautiful breakout trade. And then I look at the retracements back to this EMA line. And right here, I would be already with an order waiting to get in, because breakout trades will give you a good retrace back and move again. Doesn't have to be big. It will give me that one point that I'm looking for. It actually went now a point and a half. So that is one of the things that I really, really look for, is that breakout. It's kind of like you're running and you're taking a break and you're not sure if you want to go home or if you want to continue, but you're already kind of tired. And then you decide, wait, I do want to continue. So you go here, you might take a breath, which is a retracement, and then you continue on. How far you want to go, that is not for me to decide. I don't actually care. But as long as you go for, in this case, the one point, I'm in and out. I got my one point. If you got 10 contracts there, that's $500. It's a good deal and it's quick. They're really, really easy to spot because of these support areas and resistance areas and the breakouts. And I always look at my MACDs. And right here, I had plenty of strength to see that they are way below the zero line. And that's where I would be really putting these two together. And that's how I view all of my trades. They're simple. I don't go for many. And they're smaller targets, which gives you that quicker target hit, which just gives me that emotional capital of confidence. Oh, I could do this. And that's one of my main trades that I take. Thanks.
So you're scalping for one point based on breaking of zones or moves back to zones. Yeah. Those pink areas are your support and resistance zones.
Yeah. So broke the support area and retraced beautifully back to my line where I take my shooting arrow from, which is this red EMA line. And I always, always start with 1 point risk, 1 point target, always, because it's a very high chance that it will go that fast. I mean, this probably happened within 2 minutes, this move. So I'm in and out of a trade, and 1 point is not that much to go. So you pretty much know that it will go that fast. I mean, if you look at the majority of the times, they move 1 point, right? 1 point in an E-mini, it's $50 per contract. So if you win with more than one contract, times it, you know, so 10 contracts is 500. And for me, that's really what it's all about, is those quick moves that I've been studying and back testing. And I pretty much know that it will at least do a quick retrace to that 1 point without going too much further in before deciding what it's going to do. And then it kind of just hung out here for a while, which is something I don't care about anymore.
Well, what's the batting average on that? How often are you right?
I have many different, I have 10 different trade setups that I look at. So this particular one is the breakout. And I would say the breakout trade is a good 90% chance, because what could happen is you could have a FOBO, right? Which is that fake out breakout. But to me, if I get into that fake out breakout, meaning if I got in here and it continued back in, I would be okay with it. It's a very valid trade. The FOBOs happen less than 10% of a breakout. So at least it's probably between 85 and 90% that it is a definite 1 point. Again, I'm going for one tiny points, right? I'm not going for the huge home runs of like 2, 3, 4, 5 points, because there's just too much indecision and too many retracements back and forth, which I don't have the heart for. At least 90%. So if I have a FOBO, again, like we were talking about, I'm okay with it. It's not going to drain my emotional capital. It's just part of the game, but there's a huger chance of it being a good trade for that 1 point.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marina. Let's move over to you, Bennett.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. All right. Let me show you my screen here. This is not a day trade. This is more of a position trade. But since we talked also a lot about risk control and so forth, I thought I'd share a little way in which we actually calculate our trade size on each and every trade. But first, the trade. All right. So what we like to do is we like to get in early on trends. I'm not a big believer in chasing trends. So there's different types of trends in the market. There's the impulsive waves moving into the direction of the dominant trend. And then we have corrections in that trend. Now, this happens to be a correction. And if you're into Elliott waves, this would be a 3 and most likely a 4. And this would be our target range for the 4 up here. So what we do is we use the Applied Reality Trading System, which looks at price patterns along with momentum in the market. It's over 3,000 lines of code. So it's pretty extensive in how it takes a look or snapshots at the market. And it forms these pyramid diamonds on the actual price structures. And the pyramid is always pointing in the direction of the trend. So it's pointing to the upside. Now, on this particular chart, our first entry would have been off this pyramid, because we also have some indicators at the bottom that we use kind of like a checklist. They're confirmations of taking the signals generated by the ART system. So our first one is this OWL. It's called an OWL, Optimum Wave Locator. And we use it to count Elliott waves and also use it to determine bullish or bearish momentum. So when we go long on a trade, we like to go long on bullish momentum. And at the time this trade was triggered, which would have been right here, the momentum check mark was bullish. Then we like to go down and look at the PTF, which is indicating more highs, and that is a check mark. And so those two things are our primary ways in which we analyze the market in terms of our entries. The trend lines for add-ons and also for exiting the markets. And then we have the ERI here at the bottom for fear and greed at certain times in the markets. So what we do here is we would go long on this price bar, and that would give us an entry over here at $7.10. Now, this device here is called the risk reward calculator. And what it's doing is it's going to calculate your trade size based off your win to loss percentage and your payoff ratio on your closed trade. So if you have a trading record, and we recommend everybody does, then you're going to be able to calculate your percent risk that you should risk on each and every trade based on your performance. Now, we developed this in the 1990s, and we still use it today.
And we just lost your sound, Bennett.
Size of the position, where you get pushed up to the top, being assigned or
you got me?
Yeah,
you got me.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay. So what we use is the Trader's Assistant to keep track of all our trades, and it will plot your equity curve.
Your audio's off.
And no, it's on now. The audio's on now. And also the risk to reward ratios that we use for the calculator. So that is something that we do for determining how much risk we should take on each trade. And if we bring back up the risk to reward, we talk about that a lot today already. If our entry off the pyramid is $7.10, which is one tick above the entry point as designated by the ART software, and our exit price is at 5.72, which is just under the support level of the base leg of the pyramid trading point, then what that does is it yields a share value of 1,083 shares to go long. If we're stopped out, did we lose you? Did I lose you again?
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. Well, Simon, you took about half an hour, so give me a second. Okay? So basically, the trade size is 1,083, and the dollar risk on that is 1,500. And that is basically 2% of your account size. So that yields that kind of share. And if we have the target zone starting at 26.62, then our risk to reward is over 14. And so this is a trade that we really, really like to take is when we have a risk to reward that's really high. And this kind of falls into place with everybody who's talking about today. So that's the trade we like. And the stop is at 5.72, and it pulled back a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but it's still a go. So I thought I'd bring that up and show everybody as a possibility for them. Okay, now I'm done.
While you're still on, just finally, if you want to share any closing thoughts or anything about your site, anything going on.
Marina, real fast, the term FOPO you mentioned, can you just explain what that is again?
Oh, sure. So FOBO is just literally a fake out breakout, meaning you are in a pretty strong resistance area or support area, and it finally breaks out. So here we go, right? It looks like the market totally is breaking out here, right? Right here. So to me, right here, I'm not sharing my screen, am I? Here we go. All right. Sorry. So FOBO. So when you're in a strong support or resistance area or a channel, it doesn't have to be a channel. It could just be a moving, in the same direction, and then finally breaks out like this right here. However, so when you are, let's see, there, like I said, FOBOs are not very common, but pretend we have a really strong resistance area with a lot more pivots that are hitting this area. And we're finally going and boom, we have a nice break, right? Here, the MACDs are not that strong, so I wouldn't even be looking at it. But pretend that you have a break here and you're like, okay, great. I have a fake out breakout. I have a breakout coming up and you want to get in. And you finally get in where you want to set it up, right? Right? Like pretend it's here, and instead it continues in the opposite direction. So that's a fake out breakout, right? So when you believe that the market is about to totally break out and go in the continuing direction, but it doesn't, it just heads back in the same area, either a channel or whatever. So that's a fake out breakout, and they happen very rarely, but you have to be prepared, right? You have to know everything that could happen. So I teach my students that fake out breakouts are real, and when they happen, don't beat yourself up because you did a valid trade, right? Obviously here it's not that valid. The MACDs aren't strong enough. But I don't have that much time right now to show you guys. I would love to show it to you, but I know that we are running a little bit on time here. But they're not often. So you just want to be fully prepared for that fake out breakout when it does come, and you just know, okay, I did the right decision and it just didn't go there. And that's it.
That's very interesting, Marina, because I have something that I've developed over many years to know when the breakout's going to fail. Like it's going to fake out, call it a bull trap, bear trap, when
yes,
it's going to
exactly.
break out and actually come back and actually start the whole move in the opposite direction.
So oh, actually, you do?
Okay. I've got a way of figuring it out with a very high degree of accuracy when that's going to happen, when it's going to break out and come and snap back and go in the other direction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have, there's always
that. Because I used to trade them on the wrong side. Went back to all these trades and figure out what's in common with all of these, why are these not working? And then develop a strategy the other way to actually short the breakout or to buy the breakdown.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's impressive. Because I find sometimes you just never know. Everything is completely lined up beautifully, and it's just you just don't know. But I would love to know more about your strategy. That sounds really great.
Yeah, it's
definitely would love love to learn more about that.
Work in progress to get it out in a more formal format, but I've trained a few people in how to do it, and it's beautiful when it happens. It works almost all the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it has to set up exactly right. So there's a number of conditions that need to set up, and when everything's set up, the trade just works. I mean, almost rare to have a trade that doesn't work. But again, they don't set up all the time. They have to be in a particular scenario. So I'm looking for that particular scenario to set up. I don't look for it to set up. I look at the market and, hey, it sets up. It just bounces. It kind of jumps out to you. And then, again, that's the difference between someone who's been trading many, many more years and the beginning trader. The beginning trader needs to go searching for trades, yeah? When you've been more, you know, you're more seasoned as a trader, the trades find you. You don't need to search very hard for them. You look at the market, it's either there or there's something there or there isn't. If there is, you go for it.
Yeah, well, it's like learning a new language, I always say, because I speak Spanish fluently now, but I learned it in my older years. You know, there's always that translation that takes forever and it's really difficult. But then one day it clicks, and that's kind of like, I don't know I want to call it a seasoned trader. It's just someone that practices, you know, and I believe that everybody could definitely do it. You just have to put in the time and commit and learn and understand. You know, unfortunately, 95% of people just go and there's no barrier of entry and just throw money at the market and then, you know, say, oh, it's too dangerous, it's too risky, blah, blah, blah. But they haven't put in that time. They don't even understand what a breakout is. Nonetheless, look for other things, you know. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. But, you know, it is.
Conversation with my son's piano teacher, and it's like, he needs to put in the time and practice, and, you know, if he doesn't put in the time, he's wasting his time. So you need to be able to skill. You need to practice, and perfect practice. You need to figure out what you're doing wrong and correct it and constantly learn.
Yes, and back test. And you cannot survive without a trader's journal. You just can't. I've tried it. Like you said, you know, it doesn't work. You need a trader's journal. You need to keep track.
I just read something that I wrote over 10 years ago in my trading journal. So it's very important to keep a trading journal. Okay, I think we're kind of pretty much out of time, but if anyone wants to share quickly anything that's going on, how to get a hold of you, Marina.
Hang on a sec. Okay, I wasn't sure. Yes, so you can just visit me at my website, The Trader Chick, and I even have, because I really love working with beginners, I have a free bootcamp that I offer, I'm sorry, a free mini course that I offer for people to just start to learn the basics of, basically to just learn what day trading is. I really recommend learning, and it's so much fun. Like, you know, Simon was saying, it becomes enjoyable when you actually know what you're doing. So thetraderchick.com. And again, thank you so much, David, for having me. And Simon, you have been a really fun host, challenging the mind, which I love.
Thanks a lot, Marina. Bennett, anything you'd like to share quickly?
I think Bennett had to go, but his site is traderscoach.com. So you can check out everything they have to offer there.
Okay, and very, very quickly, I'm sorry we went a bit over time, but very quickly, you can get hold of me at tradesmartforex.com. Again, if you want to learn how to build a profitable trading strategy in 15 minutes for free, then just put your details in here. You'll be on my mailing list, and I'm going to pass it back over to you, David. Thanks a lot.
Right. Thanks, everyone. Just a quick reminder to be sure to go to timingresearch.com. You can get copy of the report and the archive of the show. I am at the Chicago Traders Expo. So if you're here for this, be sure to. I'm broadcasting from Anka Metcalf's Trade Out Loud booth. So be sure to come by and visit her if you're here. And be sure to join us for Analyze Your Trade, episode number 86 tomorrow. Matt Buckley, Jim Penny, Christian Frankfurt, and Mike Pisani will be on for that one. And just want to thank my guests again for today. Maria Viatoro of TraderChick.com, Bennett McDowell of TradersCoach.com, and Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.